Early on during the COVID-19 pandemic, officials said testing would be key to containing the virus spread. But they also said there aren't enough tests. So with a few exceptions, don't try to get one right now. Now, 3 months into the lockdowns, tests are much more available than they were in Philadelphia and the area. So why can it still be so hard to get tested? I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. This is The Why. WHYY health reporter Nina Feldman, prompted in part by her own experience getting tested, has been looking for answers.
So in the beginning, the city did its best to set up as many testing sites as possible, but they really had to limit who should get tested because they just didn't have enough tests for everybody to be able to have one.
So we have to establish some criteria.
Philadelphia Health Commissioner Tom Farley just said over and over and over again at these daily press briefings that he held, we don't have enough tests. We have to reserve them for the people who get top priority.
Our top priority will be healthcare workers with symptoms. Healthcare workers, because nobody wants to be treated by a healthcare worker who is carrying this virus and catch it from the healthcare worker. The second priority would be people over the age of 50 who have symptoms characteristic of this illness. Fever, cough, and shortness of breath.
In Philadelphia and also elsewhere, they didn't even want you to get tested if you had symptoms, if you were otherwise young and healthy. That's what Valerie Arcouche, who's the health commissioner in Montgomery County, said too.
If you fall into that category and you're basically healthy, you're gonna be just fine at home. Stay in touch with your doctor, but you should be just fine at home and you don't need to be tested. So I know it's sad, we're sad about it too. I wish we had a way to magically produce more test kits, but we just don't. And that is the position that we are in.
We definitely know now, and we were pretty clear then as well, that the virus was being spread asymptomatically. About a third of cases are people who don't have symptoms or don't have symptoms yet. But we didn't have the capacity to test them.
And that was in the beginning. How much have things changed? We've gotten more tests, right?
Yes, we have gotten more tests, and we're in a lot better shape now. So those eligibility criteria have sort of waned. You know, now anybody can get tested if they have symptoms. So you don't have to be a healthcare worker. You don't have to be over a certain age. And the city has recently expanded its guidelines so that if you were exposed to somebody who is known to have COVID-19, even if you don't have symptoms, you can get a test. So that category has also been applied to people who've been attending the protests that have erupted in the wake of George Floyd's killing to protest police brutality and racism. There's so many people all out together. City health officials are worried that that could be a vehicle for spreading the virus. And so what they've said is,
We have made a recommendation that people involved in the protest, they stay away from other people, they monitor to see if they develop symptoms, and that they be tested 7 days after they participate in the protest.
Just to make sure that we could catch this virus spreading early if one of those protests did end up being sort of what could be potentially like a super spreading event. Mm-hmm. So they've expanded the eligibility to that group of people as well.
So the eligibility is expanded. Does that mean people are able to get tests now?
It means a lot more people are trying. So take Scott Gross. He is a 38-year-old. He lives in University City. Until recently, he was a server at a restaurant.
I am unemployed, uninsured, and I was at a few different protests.
And at the city's advice, decided to get tested. So his first step to do so was he went to the city's website. It was a nice-looking website. They have a really nice map.
It looks like it's like, oh, easy. Like this site is 2 blocks away from me. I can just go there and get tested.
So he calls a phone number. And it's sort of like a hotline. It's like a dispatch line. And they ask where he lives. And once he tells them, they transfer him to that health center closest to his house, where they ask his zip code. He tells them. And they say, okay, we're going to give you a phone number to call.
And I hung up and then realized that it was the city hotline number that I had been transferred from.
Which he calls.
Spoke to a different person who told me that only certain zip codes were being tested, the implication being that my zip code was not one of them.
So wait, they were only testing certain zip codes?
Yeah, and I know that sounds really confusing. Scott was confused too, and he was not the only person who I heard this from. And so I did some digging, and what I learned was that the hotline, the sort of centralized dispatch number for getting tested, is pretty new. It used to be, you know, for anything else besides COVID, you would just call the health center closest to your house, make an appointment, and go in. But for COVID, they've centralized it, and they're sort of assigning people to a few different testing sites. There are four throughout the city based on where you live. So what I think is happening, and this is really just my sleuthing based on what the city has told me and what patients' experience sound like, is that people are calling the hotline, saying to the person on the phone where they live. That person is directing them to the health center that is the closest to their house, but isn't necessarily one of these designated COVID testing centers. Mm. So when the person calls, the, you know, nurse or the receptionist or whoever answers the phone says, oh, you know, we're not testing for your zip code here. And so then they call back to the hotline again. And if they're lucky or if they're patient, they get transferred to the correct testing site that is where they should have been directed in the first place.
And how did this go for Scott? Like, once he ran into this roadblock, what happened? What did he do next?
So Scott, as he put it himself, does not have much else to do.
I had time to actually just sit down and go through all the options and have seven different tabs open in my web browser and like focus and call and call and call.
He tried looking up the options at Penn. It says that those sites are free for everybody, including the uninsured. So that was appealing. He had an interaction with a chatbot and went through a whole list of questions to be able to, you know, determine his eligibility, only to find out at the end of that conversation with the chatbot that, in fact, the site he was assigned to is temporarily closed.
Yeah, that's annoying. And, you know, there's a lot going on, but still to not have that info be, like, front and center on your social media when the city's like, get tested, get tested, get tested, was a little much.
Next, he remembered all the ads he's seen for CVS and Rite Aid on social media being open and free and easy. But as he kind of went through the automated processes for both of those,
it gives you a list of testing sites in the area with times that you can pick. Great. But they are all drive up only.
Scott doesn't have a car.
So in other words, you need a car to go to those places and get a test?
It's a lot easier for a lot of them. There are some that do walk-ups, but none that were close enough to Scott that it was convenient for him.
Yeah. So he eventually got a test?
He eventually got a test. He had a friend who had done it at Jefferson. He got through to somebody there. But the whole time, he just kind of had this feeling of, like, could this possibly be right? Like, could I possibly be doing this right?
Like, I'm somebody who has a ton of time and a ton of savvy to figure this stuff out. And it still took me forever. And we're just not making it easy for the most vulnerable people. And it sucks. The whole time I was going through it, I was like, God, imagine if I like had kids running around, or like if I needed to go, like, I don't know, go grocery shopping, or had like a sick parent that I had to go check in on. Like, it's just crazy.
And what were his results?
He was negative. So he went, he showed up, he walked up. It was a very quick and easy process. And he had his results within a few hours. And he is COVID negative.
When we come back,
they came out, they nasal swabbed me. I honestly don't think it was as bad as people say. People say it feels like it's touching your brain.
What it's like to get tested and what it's like to get your insurance to pay for it.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
This is The Why. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. I'm talking to WHYY health reporter Nina Feldman, who had difficulties of her own when she went to get a COVID-19 test.
So I wanted to get tested because I've covered a couple of protests, you know, reporting for WHYY. Mm-hmm. And so following the city guidance, I did that. there is a Vibe urgent care right near my house, and I had heard from a few people that that had been a positive experience. And so I called and had a telehealth appointment, you know, did the intake with the receptionist on the phone, and then was told that I would have an $89 copay. And I was surprised by that because my understanding with my insurance was that everything was covered. Mm. And, you know, then I did some back and forth and I called the insurance company and they, you know, we ended up figuring it out and it was covered. But I didn't find that out until days later after I had already gone in and gotten tested. And I was just thinking about the fact that if I hadn't been able to front the $89 or hadn't been willing to, you know, that could have been my sort of, well, this is too hard, this is too complicated, my barrier to getting testing. And there definitely are people who have gotten in touch with me that have had smooth and easy experiences getting a test. But it does kind of seem like it depends on heavily on your insurance and how comfortable you are navigating the medical system or what day it is or who you talk to on the phone. So there are just a lot of kind of pitfalls that if you hit the wrong way, you know, you might have a really hard time.
And Nina, can I ask, were you negative for COVID?
I was, yes.
That's really good to hear.
I was negative for COVID. And I will say, you know, after the financial snafu on the front end, I had a completely positive experience. I showed up, I waited outside for a few minutes. They came out, they nasal swabbed me.
And we're gonna go right now, each nostril. Good, 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 good. And now on the other side. And that's it.
Okay.
Yeah. And it takes about 3 hours.
I honestly don't think it was as bad as people say. People say it feels like it's touching your brain. Maybe they found a way to make it less invasive, but I, you know, it wasn't super comfortable. I wouldn't sign up for it tomorrow, but
right.
It wasn't that bad.
It wasn't lovely, but it wasn't unpleasant enough to deter me from doing it pretty regularly.
And then I got my results within a day or so, and they were negative, so.
So we've been talking about how testing has been going inside Philadelphia. How widely is testing available in the suburbs?
Right. So Montgomery County, which initially was a hotspot for the virus, has free testing in a number of places. There's drive-through and walk-up options, and you don't need insurance or identification or a doctor's note for any of them. You just have to make an appointment. It's important to note that on paper, that is what Philadelphia advertises as well. And I have to confess that I haven't talked to folks from Montgomery County who, you know, have told me how their experience actually plays out in reality. So, you know, that's something I would love to look into for future stories. I don't know if it sort of passes muster. In Chester County, which shares a health department with Delaware County, it's interesting. Online, you have to fill out a long questionnaire before you can even get to the page where it tells you where the testing sites are and when appointments might be available. I found it a little unsettling to think about having to put in all your information before even knowing what your options were. But it did seem like there were a lot of options once you went through that process. Bucks County Health Department does not do testing. Officials there recommend you get tested through your primary care physician. So it's kind of a range.
What do you think is at stake if people find there are just too many hoops to jump through and they don't go through with getting the testing? What are the ultimate stakes for them and for, I guess, the rest of us?
Yeah, I mean, I think the stakes are really high. The whole point of being able to expand testing is to be able to curb the virus before it spreads. And, you know, if people are deterred from getting tested and might be carrying the virus asymptomatically and then spreading it around, as Philadelphia, you know, eyes the green phase in the not so distant future and we reopen businesses and, you know, we're sort of easing back into the economy as we once knew it. Well, if we have people walking around that don't know they have coronavirus, we'll find ourselves in exactly the same position where we started in, you know, March. This is a really key tool, and that's why it's so important that it be easy for people to access.
Why do you think it's so complicated for a lot of people?
I think that the systems because it's not just the city, it's also the drugstores, the commercial pharmacies, the urgent care chains, the big health systems in town, haven't quite caught up to the increase in testing. So there was this message at the beginning that everybody kind of internalized, which was don't get tested unless you absolutely have to. You know, there aren't enough tests. And I think that even though the messaging has changed and the reality of the testing capacity has changed, the systems that we have set up for accessing testing are lagging behind that reality a little bit.
We've been using the word systems a lot. And in a way, there were a few centralized systems that the people you talked to went through. There's this hotline, there's the city's website. But it almost seems like what we're really talking about is more of a like a giant patchwork of providers that have some different rules and different capacities to test people. I mean, is this a problem of just not having a great system, not having great coordination of all of these different elements?
It's sad to say it, Shai, but I think it looks a lot like this because that's what the American healthcare system looks like. We're seeing a new branch of the American healthcare system develop sort of in rapid speed before our eyes. Unfortunately, I don't actually think the uncoordinated way that we are handling this with all the puzzle pieces that sort of don't quite seem to fit together and officials saying one thing and doctors saying another thing and payment structures being sort of unpredictable, I don't think that's exceptional at all. I think that's more the rule. It's just we're used to it in a lot of other healthcare settings in this country, and this is just the latest one to join the bunch.
Yeah. Well, on that note, Nina, thanks so much.
Yeah, sorry to be such a downer. Thank you.
WHYY health reporter Nina Feldman. The Y is produced by Annette John Hall, Alex Stern, and Kelsey Hansen, with editorial direction from Katie Culinary. We had editing help on this episode from Eugene Son. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. Stay safe, and we'll see you tomorrow.